Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank wants to know how you reward yourself, because they have cards that make every day more rewarding. Are you a points hoarder, cashback guru, low intro APR lover? With U.S. Bank, it's up to you, because they have the cards to fit your lifestyle. So earn more whether you're shopping at a gas station or grocery store, even while planning a staycation. Learn more at usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome in to the award-winning RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast presented by FanDuel. It is Friday, December 29th, 2017. For just a couple days longer, DJ Trainer here joined by Shannon McEwen and Ken K-Train Kreitz.
All aboard!
You can find us on Twitter at TrainerDJ, at RotoShannon, and at Ken Kreitz. You probably already figured this out by now, but this podcast is available on iTunes and Stitcher. Feel free to leave a nice review on one of those venues. You know we'd love to have it. You can also find all our other RotoWire podcasts on iTunes and Stitcher and directly on the RotoWire.com website itself. Quick overview of today's podcast, if I can talk. Hopefully I can talk today. We're going to go over top news.
Are you guys on cigars already? Are we already on the New Year's cigars?
2018, got to bring it in with a couple cigars, right, Shannon?
A couple stogies.
Early morning stogies.
Yeah, here at 9:40 a.m. in Madison, Wisconsin. Shannon and I are already too deep.
We're going to go.
You're on the East Coast, Ken, so what are you, 3-4 deep?
Yeah, I'm on my third.
Okay.
with some brandy.
It is a Friday before the new year. All right, we're going to go over some top news. Ken and Shannon have a couple of rants. I don't know if Shannon's is a rant, but he has a great story at the end of the year. He always has a great story about Rec League hoops. We'll go into our broad topic of the day. Names who probably could possibly potentially get traded before the deadline, where they're going from one fantasy situation to a lesser fantasy situation or a better one. So we'll go over a list of approximately 10, 11 names, kind of break that down, some names to maybe take a flyer on or names to potentially be cautious about that they may have reached their fantasy peak before they get traded. And then, of course, we'll end this Friday with our Friday FanDuel picks. Ken, why don't you get us started?
Certainly. Exciting game in Boston last night as the Celtics come back from 26 to beat a shorthanded Rocket squad, 99-98. You know what I liked about this game, other than, of course, being a woefully biased Celtic fan, but great to see Harden finally getting some calls against him. From an entertainment standpoint, I hate it when Harden's just all about drawing contact. It's just so boring to watch. I don't really want to see him shoot free throws. But his just running right at defenders, Marcus Smart, great defensive player, caused two offensive fouls on Harden at the end of the game to win it for the Celtics.
Two, like the last 7 seconds. That's amazing.
Yeah, 2 in 7 seconds. It was amazing. Now, I did want to stress, Rockets were shorthanded. A lot of guys out. Chris Paul being the most important, missed his third game, and he's questionable tonight against the Wizards. I doubt he'd play a road game at Washington, but anyway, exciting game. Gentlemen, it's 4 losses in a row for the Rockets. Any reason for concern?
No, it's a long, long season, 82 games to be exact, and even really, really good teams, you know, just go on a road trip or just have a 4-game slide. It's really not that big of a deal. I mean, we shouldn't be holding these Rockets to high, high expectations because they're still coming to their own. They're one of the best teams in the NBA, but if you're a Rockets fan, I don't think you should be concerned whatsoever, Shannon.
Absolutely not. They're 25-8. They're 12-3 away from home. They've lost one game that Chris Paul has played, and he wasn't able to finish that game. So there's no concern whatsoever. I mean, once they're at full strength, they're a finely tuned machine. I mean, they're the one challenger that I'm comfortable saying, like the one challenger for the Warriors that I would be comfortable making that statement on.
They had no depth in that game last night. Mbai Mbute was out, and maybe more importantly, Clint Capella out. I mean, the difference between Clint Capella and Nene is enormous, especially defensively. Hilario, I know he's on that team because he's affordable, but I don't see how he sort of fits their scheme there. And he had to eat some major minutes.
They were so thin that they signed Gerald Green earlier today.
And he,
they signed
11 minutes
before the game, and he played 11 minutes. That's how thin they were. So again, it's not something I would be worried about as a Rockets fan.
I agree. All right, moving on, gentlemen. Curry is probably coming back Saturday, Stephen Curry, but he is out tonight. Who does that mean big fantasy points for at the Warriors, gentlemen?
Durant's been on a tear, so I would still back Durant. I mean, Draymond Green gets an uptick, Klay Thompson an uptick. Jordan Bell's been pretty damn consistent the past couple weeks. He's held on to the starting job even after Zaza returned from injury. So those are the main guys I would be targeting.
Durant, during this stretch where Curry has sat from December 6th to December 27th, that has been 10 games. He's averaged 36 minutes on the court, an even 29 points, 8.6 rebounds, 5.4 assists, 0.8 blocks. Big story here, 3.1 I might have mixed that up. 0.8 steals and 3.1 blocks. And these blocks have really kind of vaulted him into Defensive Player of the Year territory, where his own teammate, former Defensive Player of the Year, Draymond Green, is saying that it's not even a competition right now. Kevin Durant is your Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, he is really good on defense, and he has been leading the league in blocks for the majority of the season. Are we ready to say that Kevin Durant is the Defensive Player of the Year, though?
He's getting there. I mean, he's made his case for it. And now with Jordan Bell in the starting lineup, Durant's kind of he's the rim protector. He's basically the center. He's not center by name, but he is the center. I mean, he's taller than Jordan Bell. He's taller than Draymond Green. He's not always matching up against the center, but he's the guy who's really protecting the rim for that team. And we saw that in the playoffs last year as well. So it doesn't really come as that much of a surprise. Maybe it's a surprise that he's doing it in the regular season, but he's definitely a legit Defensive Player of the Year candidate, you know, one of the top three in the league right now, and it only makes his fantasy value more attractive.
During the stretch where Curry was, you know, mostly healthy, so essentially before December 6th, percentages were down all over the place. So we're looking at 20 games essentially before that Curry injury, where Durant was averaging 34 minutes as opposed to 36, 37, 25 points as opposed to, again, almost 30, 6 rebounds as opposed to 8, and blocks. Now, during this stretch, like you said, Shannon, he's averaging 3.1 compared to 1.9 in the 20 games before this 10-game stretch. Mm-hmm. So Durant has really kickstarted. As somebody who has, you know, a decent share of Durant across my leagues, it was nice to get this kickstart, but I will admit that I'm a little bit afraid or apprehensive when Curry comes back, because certainly, you know, his usage is going to go down a little bit, but there's no reason why, you know, he can't keep up those blocks. I think he really might be trying for Defensive Player of the Year.
Good point, gentlemen. And by the way, Jordan Bell, last 30 days, ranks 78th on Yahoo. But yes, Durant's D has been pretty spectacular. And more DFS news for tonight. Victor Oladipo, leading scorer for the Pacers. He's also out for tonight. That was actually announced yesterday. Not surprising news, but what maybe is surprising is who's scoring in this Indiana Pacers lineup. Guys, who do you like on the Pacers for tonight? Based on maybe Wednesday, was it Thursday's game where Oladipo didn't play?
Lance Stephenson is the guy picking up the slack.
Come on.
He is. I know. I was trying to legionize there. I was hoping you'd drink the water.
he had a monster game. Played 36 minutes, had 16 points, 15 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and 2 3-pointers.
Which probably means he's destined for a terrible night tonight, but I do have Stephenson on my list.
You have to. I mean, you have to. He's a definite option for DFS this weekend for however long Oladipo's out, and he's a pickup option in season-long leagues if it's revealed that Oladipo's going to miss a few more games or next week, then Stevenson's a streaming option.
You can take your Stevenson. I'm going to just kind of lean on Darren Collison for DFS. You know, with Oladipo off the court, Oladipo handles the ball, brings the ball up quite a bit. So does Stevenson. But I think that, you know, over the course of the majority of the games without Oladipo, Collison is going to be the one who handles the ball more often, maybe takes a few more shots, and, you know, is able to dish it out more. I understand that, you know, Stevenson is like a poor man Oladipo in the way that he's a shooting guard and handles the ball, but I'm going to rely on Darren Collison. I think that's a little bit more reliable, but you could have those crazy Lance Stevenson games, but I don't think that's worth it to get, what, 1 out of 5, 1 out of 6?
I hear you. Collison definitely gets an uptick as well. Another guy I really like is Miles Turner, because they haven't really had to rely on Miles Turner. He's been somewhat of a disappointment on the offensive end this season. I mean, he's leading the league in blocks, so nothing wrong with that. But on the offensive end, he's averaging basically the same amount of points he did last year. But now that Oladipo's out, he's going to have a heavier load. He's going to take more shots. So I like him. He had a good game on Wednesday when Oladipo was out. I like him again tonight.
The important thing here, Ken, is that it's not always a one-for-one, value shifting over position to position. That's the thing to remember, is that just because Stevenson is coming into more minutes and directly taking over Oladipo's spot, sometimes the usage, the ball handling, the shot attempts go to the next best player on the court, and Shannon's totally right. In this case, it's Miles Turner. So you can't always go one-for-one. You got to share the load on the team there.
And one more interesting note, the game on Wednesday against Dallas, not a single player took more than 13 shots. Everyone in the starting five took 11, 12, or 13 attempts.
Wow.
That was some interesting, very interesting distribution there. Very interesting. Speaking of people playing due to injuries to others, Bismack Biyombo with a 12-13 one steal, one block night against Drummond and your Detroit Pistons, Shannon. Can we trust Biyombo over the next 6 weeks with Vucevic out?
Absolutely. He's not going to score a bunch, but he's a good rebounder and he's going to block shots. So if those are two things you need, pick him up. He's only 33% owned in Yahoo right now, and he should be one of the top pickups.
I think that's the long and the short of it. Rebounds, block shots, high field goal percentage, hardly ever is going to score more than 12 points per game. And that's about it. So you can look at field goal percentage and say, oh, wow, you know, he's shooting, let's see what he's shooting this year. 49% in past years, 54. But if you're only attempting
not that many shots, you know, yeah, 7 attempts.
It's not that much of a boost. So rebounds, blocks, that's about it.
Agreed. But Shannon, you have obviously Reggie Jackson's out. So, Shannon, why don't you discuss the replacement point guard in Detroit?
Yeah, Reggie Jackson's out. So, Ish Smith is the guy you want to pick up. He had a pretty good game on Thursday night. I think he should be owned in almost any format. He's only owned in 38% of Yahoo leagues right now. He's a good guy. I mean, he's a good player. He's going to pick up assist. He'll get you the occasional steal. Decent scoring, nothing great, but he'll score 12 or 13 points a game. I mean, he had 18, 7, and 5 against Orlando last night in 32 minutes. And that's the thing, he's going to be playing 30 plus minutes. So, Ish Smith, Biyombo, and a couple other guys that we mentioned Jordan Bell earlier. And then also Tyus Jones from Minnesota. He's not very heavily owned on Yahoo or ESPN right now. He's going to see a significant run in place of Jeff Teague, who's injured. So those are four guys who I think are in play for 10 and 12 team leagues, who are all widely available. They're all under 40% owned on Yahoo right now. So any of those four would be helpful for your fantasy team.
Yeah, I think I'm definitely going to say Ish Smith is the one that I'd throw down the most fab money on, just because we've seen it in past years. You know, he can go out there and produce. Van Gundy feels, I wouldn't say comfortable, but willing to give him 30 minutes, 34 minutes a game. We've seen him do it before. He's one of the guys that coming into the season, I was looking at the depth charts, and in the later rounds of 14-team, 16-team drafts, I was grabbing Ish Smith. And so I actually have decent exposure to him, and I've been waiting for an injury to Reggie Jackson, and it finally came. I wasn't hoping for it or praying for it, but it's just one of those situations where Ish Smith is going to step in and be the starting point guard for the duration of Jackson's absence. And there's really I wouldn't expect that to change over the 6 to 8 week absence whatsoever.
No, not at all. I mean, Langston Galloway is going to be he's going to get a few more minutes as the backup point guard, but he's not a reliable fantasy option. Okay, Ken. So, who you got? You can pick up one big man and one point guard. You got Biyombo and Bell, and then Smith and Tyus Jones. Which two are you picking up?
I just said it does depend on stats, but I think you got to gamble on Bell's upside. meaning he probably still going to be valuable. Whereas when Vucevic returns, though I'm trying to do the math here, when Vucevic returns, you know, Biombo's back to not doing much. And then, boy, I'd say if you're in the top half of your league, you'd take the safe pick with Smith. But if you're in the bottom half, you gamble on some Tyus Jones upside. I mean, the kid's only 21, had a surprising 5 steals last night. So if you, you know, I guess that depends on the standings. Yeah. Is that a cop-out answer? But I'll tell
you.
No,
that's fine. And I think, I mean, Jeff Teague and Reggie Jackson are both going to be out for a significant time. I know Jeff Teague's injury, I believe, is the same injury Blake Griffin had, which he's, how long's he been out? So, I mean, Jeff Teague's not coming back for a while. Tyus Jones, he's going to get you lots of steals. That's the one thing. If you need steals, I would say Tyus Jones is a better play. If scoring an assist is more your thing, then probably go with Ish Smith. I'm with you on Jordan Bell, though. I like him more than Biombo because I think he has value for the rest of the season. And they're pretty similar. I mean, Bell's going to get you steals and blocks, not as many rebounds as Biombo, but they're both, neither one's going to be a big scorer. But I like Bell's upside on defense more.
Important thing to remember, and there's lots of factors going in here. I love the way that you guys have broken it down. I don't think that, you know, the big players on the Warriors are going to play much in the final third of the season, which bodes well for Bell. Quite a bit.
Yeah,
I think
they're
going to keep running out Vucevic like crazy, which will reduce Biombo. So I think I have to agree with you guys, even though, you know, I'm not into rookies. I think I like Bell as well.
All right. Well, hey, enough about the NBA. I need to learn more about the Madison, Wisconsin YMCA League. Shannon, take it away.
So the final Friday of the year, or the final Monday, Wednesday, or Friday, whatever it happens to be, there's a last shot of the year contest. So essentially the last game of pickup morning ball, whoever makes the last shot gets a trophy, and they have to write up a lengthy, entertaining email that basically, you know, ribs everyone who attends the basketball games. And it's just fun. It's a good group of guys. I was honored with hitting the last shot 2 out of the past 3 years. But last year it took me like 2 hours to write my email because these emails are epic. It's just epic ribbings. And this year there's no way I was going to take the final shot. So I carried the team on the back until we got to game point. No, I hit three pointers in a row to get us to game point. And then I just turned into Ish Smith and started dishing the ball everywhere. And finally, my man Mark hit a nice Dirk Nowitzki-type step-back jumper from about 14 feet away, bounced around the hoop a few times, and finally dropped. And Mark, I got to hand off the trophy to him. Congrats, Mark, on being the last shot of the year champ this season.
So last year you had this kind of like older gentleman that you all wanted him to get the last shot, and he was even in on it. And everybody was passing him the ball, and he just like could not make a shot. Like he missed 5 or 6 shots. Was there anybody or any situation like that where everybody wanted one person to do it and he just couldn't come through in the pressure?
So that older gentleman is Mike. And
oh, nice. All right.
The one thing about Mike is he always makes the last hook shot of the year. Every year. So
is that a different wager than the last hook shot of the year?
He makes
the only hook shots. But he always makes the final hook shot of the year. And Mike's problem this season was he wasn't on my team.
Oh,
and you've got to be on the winning team in order to hit the last shot of the year.
Wow. All right.
Okay. Well, all right. Congratulations to Shannon's squad. I'm sorry, who again hit the last shot?
Mark.
Mark,
can
you forward us the Mark email when it comes out?
I will definitely do that.
All right. Well, that leads us to we're going to lead in early to K-Train's crazy old man rant. And it's actually a present to Mama K-Train. So my mom turned 75 yesterday. And once again, when I called her to talk happy birthday, all she really wanted to talk about is how she's still pissed off about the Patriots trading Jimmy Garoppolo. I realize this is the NBA pod, but I promised my mom for her birthday I would vent about it. Her main point is if the 49ers can deal Joe Montana to play Steve Young, the Pats could have done something to move Tom Brady for Garoppolo.
Whoa, wow.
Which I don't agree. This is totally based on my mom just thinks Jimmy G is the hottest man in the NFL, even, you know, far more attractive than Brady. That I can't argue with. But anyway, mom, I hope I vented your frustration enough. She every time the Niners win, she like sends me an angry email about how Jimmy G should be in a Pats uniform. I probably should buy her a jersey, maybe for birthday. We'll see. But that does lead into our broad topic, which is who are the names that probably should get traded before the deadline? DJ or Shannon, what which team and which group of names do you want to dive into first?
Let's start with the Lakers.
Let's do it.
So yeah. Julius Randle is somebody that I really thought was going to be a baby Draymond, where you had Walton coming over. He was stop laughing. It's true. I don't know why you laugh. It's like it's true. It's not even like up for debate. Where Luke Walton, you know, had been with the coaching staff of the Warriors, had seen how this operates, where Draymond can, you know, handle the ball, and that kind of opens up the court when you have your big man, you know, running point essentially. And Julius Randle was capable of that. Is capable of that. But you know what? It just doesn't work with Lonzo Ball anymore. Lonzo Ball needs to be the one with the ball in his hands. He needs to be operating things. That's kind of forced Julius Randle to the side, where somebody like a Larry Nance is actually more productive and more efficient on the court with somebody like Lonzo Ball. I really like Julius Randle, but I do think that it's time for him to move on from the Lakers. And I think that the Lakers brass, as you laugh away, Shannon, are also thinking the same thing.
No, I like Randle as well. I think the baby Draymond comparison is hilarious.
Not on defense, but
yeah,
on offense.
Just because, you know, he blows a defense. He can't hit three-pointers. but he is an underrated playmaker, so I'll give you that. And okay. He's actually probably a better rebounder than Draymond. So,
yes. Yeah. He's very good rebounder.
Randle, if he got the minutes. I mean, in 22 minutes per game this year, he's averaging 12.5 and 6.5. So, I mean, right there, you bump that up to 32 minutes, and you're going to have damn good production. I like Randle. I think it would be great if he gets traded because he's going to hold plenty more fantasy value when he does, so I'm on board with that.
A bit of a free throw problem, especially this year it's hitting 65%. That doesn't really affect the trade status at all. Do you worry? You just kind of assume he'll get more minutes where he goes, right? Or is it we also just assuming Brooklyn is the destination, or who do we think Randle might be going to?
Well, there were rumors already with Dallas for Nerlens Noel, and then Nerlens got hurt, and the deal was off the table. So maybe that's a place. I mean, it's going to be a real rebuilding team like that. So Brooklyn, Dallas, someone along those lines.
I think the Lakers' main motivation is just to get Luol Deng's contract off the books. So I'm almost expecting that they basically give up Randle for pennies on the dollar, but Deng's included in the deal. Laker fans are going to be angry because the return's not going
to
look good.
They would have to give away like a first round pick as well to trade Deng. Like, no one's going to take Deng's contract.
Well, I tell you what, they are very incentivized to do that, right? If that's going to open up max room cap or enough cap to land a Paul George, to land a LeBron James, then you do it. You just do whatever it takes. So is a first-round pick worthy of LeBron James or Paul George? Yeah, it is. So that's what Laker fans need to be looking at it as.
Because who cares what you get for this year? Who cares?
Right. So another player, Jordan Clarkson, could also be the one that's thrown in there with Luol Deng. It seems like he really hasn't hit his stride with that team, but when he's on the court, I think he's competent. He can score. It'd be a great tandem partner, I think, with D'Angelo Russell. Those two guys, you know, didn't play all that terribly together back when they were in L.A.
I think Clarkson's the most likely Laker to get traded, just because I think he has more value than Randle. He's a better fit in today's NBA. There's going to be more teams going after him. We've seen with Clarkson the past couple days, past two games filling in for Lonzo Ball. He's been great. He's a really good DFS option right now, and he's going to be a good season-long option for as long as Lonzo Ball's out. If he gets traded, you know, the assumption is that it's going to be to a bigger role. He's not going to be playing just 20 minutes off the bench, so he would be a permanent option for your season-long leagues in that scenario.
Moving on, gentlemen, to DeAndre Jordan. He seems the most plausible to me. Out of all the names we're going to talk about, I don't know why. I just think that the Clippers need to move on from whatever it is they're doing. It's kind of clear that Blake Griffin is very, very good. And for a stretch of about, what, 4 or 5 games, they were arguably the best team in the league to begin the season. Blake Griffin just doesn't stay healthy enough to put a team on his back and take him to the playoffs. That means that DeAndre Jordan seemingly could be traded really anywhere, because rim protectors –
get traded always during the trade deadline, and he's arguably the best rim protector out there. Shannon, I know you've made the great comp to Nerlens Noel that, you know, why would teams pay up or trade up, I should say, for DeAndre Jordan when they could get somebody like a Nerlens Noel who arguably is as useful on the defensive end as somebody like DeAndre Jordan is.
I just want to point out about DeAndre Jordan. I agree. A month ago, or you know, 3 weeks ago, I would have said he's the most likely guy to get traded. But now the Clippers are ninth in the Western Conference, and guess who's a game time decision tonight? Blake Griffin. They could turn things around. I mean, they're only 4.5 games behind the Pelicans for the eighth seed. Same for the Portland Trail Blazers at the seventh seed. So there's room for improvement here once Griffin.
Well, you know, if Doc Rivers was still the GM, I like that argument a lot. Yeah. But now that they have taken that title away from him and have a GM that ideally is looking a little more forward, you know, to me, is really the seventh or eighth seed a win? I mean, if you're the Pelicans and you've had such an abysmal record, yeah, absolutely go for it. But the Clippers, I don't know. It's squeaking, you know, in the back door.
Here's what I think should happen. And Jason Kidd is on the hot seat, right? The Bucks are 18-15, not terrible, fifth in the East, but still expectations haven't quite been met considering where they were coming into the season. How about you take Doc Rivers, DeAndre Jordan, and ship them to Milwaukee?
Doc Rivers is a horrible coach. Horrible.
He's a championship coach.
It's not because of him. It's because of the players he had. He had three like top 20 players on that team.
Sure.
Doc Rivers has always been a horrible coach. Look at the teams that he coached.
Worse than Jason Kidd, who's completely unproven.
This is hypothetical bizarro land, though. There's no mid-season coach trade.
No, it's not. It's dumb. I think they're both horrible coaches.
But who
Doc Rivers, the consensus is Doc Rivers is a horrible coach.
Is Jason Kidd a good coach?
No, I don't think he's a good coach.
So what coach that's not currently employed is a better coach than Jason Kidd?
I have no idea.
Doc Rivers is probably, arguably, you know,
he's employed. He's employed.
They're not making some mid-season coach trade. That's crazy. That's crazy talk. But how about, as you mentioned earlier, guys, Thonmaker is on the shelf for the Bucks. So can the Bucks put something together to get DeAndre Jordan?
No, the crazy talk was like Jabari Parker and Brogdon for a rental.
That's insane.
Yeah, that's way too much. So I just can't see the Bucks making. That's why that was my argument for Nerlens over DeAndre, is the fact that why would you give away a piece like Jabari Parker to land DeAndre when you can give up Thonmaker to get Nerlens?
If you can package Thonmaker and Malcolm Brogdon for a rental, I think maybe now we might be talking. That we're talking about that rental with Jabari, Giannis, and Middleton, and then whoever else you want to throw on the court. Or Bledsoe. That's a really, really good team.
Actually, I actually think the original rumor was it might have been Parker and Middleton.
That's insane.
Which is even more insane.
No, that can't even
Middleton,
be possible.
Middleton straight up is like insane because he's a much better player than DeAndre Jordan. It doesn't make sense. If they can get him for Thonmaker and Brogdon and a second round pick or something, then yeah, of course, do it. And Milwaukee probably is the most obvious fit out there.
Gosh,
the Clippers
really
desperately need a point guard.
I don't want to spend that's true. I don't want to spend the rest of the season rooting for a coach trade, but come on. Come on, Milwaukee. Get your coach already. Let's move on here to somebody that I think we all can agree is definitely on the trade block, but we should be fearful if you have ownership of him right now if he does get traded, and that's Tyreke Evans. I mean, the situation, the heavens have opened up in Memphis for Tyreke Evans, for him to have maximum fantasy upside. If he gets traded pretty much anywhere, Shannon, I think it's, you know, he's coming down immediately. He'd be slotted in most likely to a six-man role, and there's just no way that he sees the same amount of playing time, upside, usage that he would to any trade destination.
Yeah, no doubt about it. If he gets moved, it's going to be detrimental to his fantasy value. Over the past 30 games, he's 26th-ranked player based on average stats on Yahoo. He's averaging 21.5, 5, 6, 1 steal, 2.6 three-pointers, knockdown three-point shooter now. It's crazy. Like, he's having a great season, especially since Conley went down. But no matter where he gets moved, his value is going to go down because there's a very good chance he would be a sixth man no matter where he gets moved. And even if he starts, he'll be the third or fourth option instead of the, right, you know, one or two like he is currently with Gasol.
And Also, if you look at the top one or two or even maybe three teams in your fantasy league right now, I don't care what format, anything like that, I'm willing to bet that Tyreek Evans is on one of those teams. You know, you can go out and look in your leagues right now. He's the type of pick you were getting him so cheap that he really turned around people's seasons. And he's just one of those players this year that, you know, he's going to win fantasy championships, especially if he stays in Memphis. If he does get moved, then his averages might come back down to reality. But he's going to exceed expectations because of this first half that he's had, regardless of his end destination at the end of the season. But just one of those players that is, you know, winning people a lot of money this year.
Well, and, you know, Memphis is another situation where, you know, please hope they don't try to. If anybody should deal in talent right now, it's Memphis.
They should trade everyone.
Running into a wall year after year after year, and if you're not even going to be healthy, like, you know, what's the point? Because full strength, you know, they hit that wall every year. It's just another team. They're just stuck in kind of the middle land forever, which the Philadelphia 76ers were. This Memphis team has achieved, I think, more than the Sixers teams did in the early aughts. But still, yeah, it's kind of a, I don't like to throw this word around, but it's kind of depressing that, you know, there's just no light at the end of the tunnel for Memphis Grizzly fans right now. Let's talk about Shannon's once former favorite player, Mario Hezonja. With a ton of injuries happening in Orlando, he's been able to be on full display, and I think he's impressed some people around the league. Do you think that there's some value added there, Shannon, to the point where he could actually be a trade candidate and Orlando could receive something valuable in return for him?
I mean, it's certainly possible. He's been solid the last 2 weeks. He's averaged 13 points, 4 rebounds, 1.5 steals, 1.7 threes, shooting 48% from the floor. So he's been solid. This is without question the best stretch of his career. Things will be interesting now because Aaron Gordon's back, Evan Fournier's back. You know, last night he only played 18 minutes against the Pistons. Had 4.3 rebounds, so that's after a stretch of five straight games scoring in double figures and six of the past seven games in double figures. But, you know, immediately his minutes and production drop as soon as Gordon gets back. So I'm worried that, you know, right now everyone who rushed and picked him up the past week or two, you're probably going to be dropping him after this weekend, was my assumption. But he certainly could have value if he goes to a different team. And he's the type of player that I think is intriguing for
he's only 22. Yeah, he's exactly. Only 22.
He's still young.
I do wonder though, can Magic basically in dealing him, can they omit yet another draft pick mistake? You know, he was a number five pick. They're not getting anywhere close to a number five pick for him. So dealing him basically keeps saying, oh yeah, we've been making bad picks the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, and every organization kind of has to eat crow on that at some point, but I think they've proven that by not playing him, right?
Well, here's my question. Is it a bad draft pick if he goes somewhere else, plays 30 minutes a game, and is highly
productive?
No.
Yeah,
so,
right. Or did you screw him up? Like, was it the right pick, and you just couldn't do it, or you didn't manage it?
Yeah. Orlando Magic are the Sacramento Kings of the East talent goes to die. Ken, I want to ask you a question about Mario Hezonja, because you've oftentimes over the last couple of weeks brought up a great point where all these players seem to be positionless, and you know, sometimes that's a good thing, like we've seen with the Warriors, and sometimes it's a really bad thing, as we've seen with the Magic. Do you think that increases Hezonja's trade value? That, you know, you can play some shooting guard, small forward, power forward in theory, but is that a better thing for his trade value, or actually a worse thing because he's proven that he can't play any of those positions?
Well, you know, I am always negative when they call a guy a tweener, and I think it's especially negative if you're an international player coming in at age 20. Into the NBA, it's hard enough with all the other things you have to get used to, and you're also not sure what position you should be in. You know, and the Magic roster frustrated the heck out of me because it was all tweeners for a long time. What he needs, and it will probably never find in Orlando, is a set role where he's encouraged, he's given minutes, but also he knows He's either the power forward or the small forward, and this is what we want you to do every play, and just forget everything you possibly can about Orlando. You know, and maybe Brooklyn's that opportunity. If I'm Memphis, as we talked about, boy, I'd love to take a flyer on him. He's somebody a bad team absolutely should take a flyer on the assumption that you have better coaching than the mess that's been in Orlando the last few years.
I'll tell you, as a Pistons fan, I would love for the Pistons to play him. Like, if they have to give up, like, I will say something crazy, and a lot of Pistons fans will hate
Tobias. You're going to send Tobias back to Orlando?
No, not Tobias. But if they had to give up, like, Stanley Johnson for him,
what?
I don't care. Do it.
Sure. Stanley Johnson can't shoot. Do it in a heartbeat.
Play him and Tobias at the 3 and 4. You have two solid three-point shooters then. That's what the Pistons need. I would love it, honestly.
Especially with a dominating rebounding center, you can take Huzanga's a little slightly worse rebounding.
And if you think about a player who Hezonja reminds me of, is Hedo Turkoglu, that is Stan. Hezonja is a good playmaker when given the ball. I mean, go watch his highlights, and the reason why he was drafted top five, it's because of his playmaking skills. So he actually reminds me of Turkoglu a little bit, and I would love. I would absolutely love to see Stan Van Gundy get his hands on him, and you have Tobias in the, what's that guy's name? Oh, the 3-point shooter that Rashard Lewis.
Okay,
you have Tobias in the Rashard Lewis role, and Zonia is the new Hedo. And then you got Drummond and Dwight Howard.
Does Stanley Johnson have trade value? Are people who's getting in line to deal for Stanley Johnson?
I mean, he has just as much trade value as Hezonja.
Hezonja had one good game.
He went 8 for 12 from downtown.
I would agree that they have similar trade value. You could almost trade those guys straight up. Let's keep it moving here. We've got a few more names to hit on before we go into our Friday FanDuel picks. Greg Monroe, he's been out there forever. He's been on the trade block for a few years. There's really no situation I could see him going to where he would, you know, receive an amazing boost in fantasy value. Don't need to spend too much time here, guys, but Greg Monroe getting traded away, pretty much status quo for what he's done so far this year, right?
If the Bucks couldn't, the Bucks are trying forever to deal Monroe, and the Suns take him out of desperation. I don't know why the Suns have any more luck dealing Monroe than the Bucks have. No one's like, what I would really like is a center from the late 80s.
Monroe's a buyout candidate. I think he'll get bought out. I don't think anyone's going to trade for him. I mean, they might, but it's not going to be. He's not going to be in a big role. He might get traded to a contender. You have a team like the Celtics who could actually probably use some low post scoring and rebounding that Monroe offers, and they would use him for, you know, maybe 18 minutes off the bench.
But Brad Stevens likes his guys to be able to hit at least a 10-foot jumper.
Right.
Monroe can hit a 10-foot jumper.
Yeah,
can he hit a 14-foot jumper? I don't know.
We've had this conversation many times before. If we knew he was going to spend even 24 minutes on the court, he would have value in deeper leagues, but we can't. I mean, there's like almost no team around the league where we could say he's going to be guaranteed 24 minutes a night. Usually he just comes in when everybody's injured, plays 30 minutes, has a great stat line, and then he's relegated back to the bench. It's just kind of who he is as an NBA player and where the NBA has trended.
Yeah.
Let's keep it moving here. Thonmaker, we already touched on. Have some Bucks here in the Madison Bucks fans here in the Madison office ready to part with Thonmaker. Again, like, if we're going to talk about DeAndre Jordan, Nerlens Noel, way higher in terms of the value and in the proven aspect. If people want to take a flyer on Thonmaker, I think he's probably available to, you know, be taken as a flyer from the Bucks right now.
Absolutely. I mean, Bucks fans are just thinking about the now. Thonmaker is he's got upside. But they're impatient. They want this team to win this year and next year. So might as well just move Maker. He's not going to contribute this year or next year. So just move him.
Ken, I'll let you talk about the next guy here because I know you've had your run-ins with this guy before. Kenneth Faried, another name just like Greg Monroe that's always on the trade block for whatever reason. He spent his whole career in Denver. He's been phased out. I think that unlike Greg Monroe, that Faried could find a place where he could be slotted into a starting role and be valued in for majority of a minutes for a team, yet to be seen until he finally moves away from Denver, though, Ken.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if he's just in the twilight at this point. Is he is he someone, you know, like the Celtics could certainly use rebounding, but his actual rebounds per minute are not that great. He was always billed as this energy guy who couldn't shoot, and I don't think he's an energy guy anymore. And I think the Nuggets have always overvalued him. They should have dealt him years ago. I don't see – I think they're stuck with him in Denver, who – young and up-and-coming, who ought to be on our new roster. Free Willie! Free Willie! Free Willie Hernan Gomez from the Knicks! Fine, you're in love with Enes Kanter. Okay, great. Well, deal Willie. He's got send Willie to Atlanta. That's what I want to see. Willie to Atlanta.
Yeah, that, I mean that's like an awesome destination for all these players we've been talking about. The Brooklyns, right. Your Atlantas, not the Kings, because you know George Hill should be a top 25 fantasy player on their roster, but they're not giving him minutes. So, you know, it's always going to be a case by case basis. Willie Hernan Gomez, you do have to wonder though, Ken. We've seen that he has Jonas Valanciunas potential, low double double, maybe a block, maybe a steal per game if he's lucky, but he just needs to be on a team where the right fit is, and arguably the Knicks are the worst possible team he could be on because they like playing Kristaps Porzingis at center as often as possible. And then, you know, when Kristaps is off the court, Enes Kanter is almost always on the court. You can never have Hernan Gomez and Kanter on the court at the same time. It does not work in today's NBA.
Yeah. Now, can we now that the Thunder are playing well, can we kill those Paul George trade rumors, or do you think they should still be alive, DJ? We know the Thunder are your team.
So here's the thing. We were talking before the podcast that, you know, should we include Paul George? And you guys were somewhat adamant about saying no. And, you know, they're trending in the right direction. They needed time to come together, find that cohesion, and they finally found it. But guess what? Every single trade or, you know, acquiring that Sam Presti, the GM of the Thunder, has made has taken me by surprise as a Thunder fan. Right. So acquiring Paul George surprised me. And really, he's done a very good job. Everybody admits that, aside from the Harden trading away. And if Paul George got traded, I wouldn't be surprised, because that's a shocking thing to do. And Sam Presti does shocking things. If he feels like that he can position himself and the Thunder organization for the next 3 or 4 years outside of the next 6 months, so AKA the majority of Russell Westbrook's contract, then he might take that stab at something. If he can get some players he thinks that will be better for the duration of Westbrook's contract and not just this first 6 months.
I just can't see it happen. They're the fifth seed in the West right now.
Eight games back.
Yeah, they've won six in a row. I'd have to imagine that they're – I would put them as a lock to finish as the fourth seed. They're only a game and a half behind Minnesota. I don't necessarily think they'll jump up to three above San Antonio, but absolutely they will pass Minnesota soon. And that's – you just don't do it. You made this play – you traded for George to make a championship push this year, and also to convince Russ to sign a contract extension, which
and he did
achieved.
Yeah,
but still.
But you don't want Russ going off in the paper saying, "Come on, you only gave us half a season to gel. Yeah, not even half. I mean, only 35 games in."
Yeah, but if you're Westbrook, he's surrounded by two
nuts.
New stars for the next 3-4 years.
Well, now it's starting to gel. I think they hold on to him. They'll try to re-sign him. Even if they did move, if they decided to switch things up, I think they would try moving Melo first.
Of course, yeah.
Well, they've got, you know, here's the thing. It's still December. They've got all of January to see if they continue to improve or not. So I think I'm not going to say there's no way George moves, but certainly I think they're leaning to improving. They're going to want to keep him. I give it maybe a 15% chance, and that percentage probably shrinks as they continue to play well in January.
When they're 10 games above 500 on February 1st, it'll be a moot point.
Right.
In terms of fantasy value, if he does get traded, I can't imagine that it would be any lesser than it is now, being on a team with Carmelo Anthony and Russell Westbrook. Nothing to be concerned about if you have invested in Paul George. You probably got him on the cheap to begin with anyways. DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis, also just need to mention them here. We don't need to spend too long on them.
They're the eighth seed. They're the eighth seed, which is like heaven in New Orleans.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, there's still rumors out there. You never know. Anything that you guys want to touch on with Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins?
They both would be going to such good scenario. I mean, no matter what team they go to, they're going to be the first or second option.
Yeah.
So it's not going to impact their fantasy value to any significant degree.
All right. Good chat, fellas. Why don't you take a breath here before we jump into our Friday FanDuel picks? And let me talk about FanDuel, fantasy basketball for the everyday fans. New contest starting every day. That means no busted seasons, something for everyone, and lots of contests to choose from starting at just $1. All you do is pick a contest, select your players, and watch your score in real time. I've said it many times. I'll say it again. We like FanDuel so much that we're going to devote the whole next segment to our Friday FanDuel picks. We're three of over 2.5 million players that have won a cash prize playing on FanDuel. Listen up. To take advantage of our special offer for new users, sign up today at FanDuel.com/RW. You'll get a free 6-month RotoWire subscription with your first deposit on FanDuel. Just visit FanDuel.com/RW. Void where prohibited. Ken, why don't you kick us off with your first pick of the day? We mentioned this guy, we mentioned the situation, but why don't you go ahead and relay his name and his FanDuel price so everybody knows how valuable he could be tonight?
Yeah, I still like Lance Stephenson at only 5,800 for the Pacers. You know, Oladipo's out. A lot of shots there, playing a pretty weak Chicago team, though they've been playing well lately. At only 5,800, that seems like an awfully low-cost gamble for me. What do you guys think?
I'm with you. He was the first name I plugged into my lineup. I mean, I was like, all right, let's see how much. The only way I would have is if he jumped up to like 7,000, which is what we saw from Jordan Clarkson, who had been very cheap the first two games with Lonzo Ball out. Now he's up to 7,000. I'm still plugging Clarkson into my lineup. I think he's a good bat to go for 5x value and get 35 fantasy points. Mm-hmm. So I still like him at 7,000, but it is getting close to the range where that might be too expensive.
The guy that I mentioned in tandem with Lance Stephenson, Darren Collison, is $6,300. You're just probably not going to get that 50-point game that maybe you could get out of Lance Stephenson if he just catches fire, gets some steals, some blocks. But I think Collison in this situation is a little bit more reliable, where I would feel more confident saying that he's going to actually get to 30 than Lance Stephenson does. But I feel more confident saying that Lance Stephenson could reach 45 than Darren Collison could. So,
well, let me throw out an even cheaper point guard option. Tyler Johnson is going to start again tonight. Did injuries. He's had last four games of 30, 29, 31, and 39 fantasy points. And let's see, Waiters is out, Winslow is out, and Dragic is playing, but he still has a bad elbow. So at 5,900, also plays Brooklyn. So if anything's going to motivate the Heat to finally push the pace, it'll be playing Brooklyn.
Another Heat player that I like a lot tonight is Josh Richardson. He has been absolutely on fire. He's playing over 36 minutes per game. And averaging over 35 fantasy points over the past eight contests. He's only 6,300. I mean, it's unheard of that a player who has topped 40 points three out of the past six games would not go up in value. And he really hasn't. I mean, he should be up towards $7,000 right now, and he's still at 6,300. So I love him tonight as well.
All right. I want to pose a question, as I often do during this segment, to you guys. And let's have a little talk about it. Nicholas Batum at $5,600 going up against Golden State tonight. Am I wasting money by picking Nicholas Batum, or am I potentially finding a diamond in the rough? Somebody who, Shannon, we know can go out there and get us 40 fantasy points and dip into that 50 FanDuel fantasy points range. For whatever reason, since he's come back from injury, just hasn't happened. The minutes are still there. That's what I keep going back to. I keep putting him into my lineup, but am I foolish? Here's the question. Am I foolish for keep going or keep placing Batum in my lineup as his price decreases?
No, not at all. I have him in my lineup as well. I think 5,600 is a very good value. He's only averaging 25 fantasy points per game this season, and there have been some duds in. I think the reason why his price is so low is because of those duds. But at the same time, I mean, he's played 35 and 34 minutes in the past two games against tough opponents. The Bucks and Boston both have tough wing defenders, and he had to go up against that, and he still managed to average 30 fantasy points in those two contests. I mean, that's kind of his money range right there. Is, you know, if he plays 35 minutes, he's going to be good for about 30 fantasy points. So I like.
So Shannon, let me pose a player A, player B. You like Batum at 5,600 going against the Warriors, or Eric Gordon, still starting for the Rockets tonight at Washington at 5,800.
Why not both, Ken? I've got them both in my lineup.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I can't resist Devin Booker at 7,800. He's never going to be this cheap again.
Booker, that is a very good price for Booker as well. I'm going for more expensive players at other positions just because I feel like that shooting guard position tonight, you have the Batums and Gordons in the under $6,000 range who all have, you know, 30, 35, 40 point upside if they're hitting their shots. And while Booker's, you know, Booker's pretty much a lock to get you 35 points, and he has upside to post the highest fantasy point total for the evening. It's just he's most likely going to fall in that range that's not too much higher than these guys, what you're going to see from Batum or Gordon.
Yeah, what's interesting is that the Kings have traditionally been the worst team at defending the three-point shot in the league over the last 4 to 5 years. This year, not necessarily the case if you look specifically at shooting guards, in that the Kings are actually, I believe, in the top third for FanDuel points held to so far across the league, which is pretty amazing. So it may seem offhand that Booker has a good matchup because he's going against the Kings, but the FanDuel points per game average per position would actually suggest that he doesn't actually have as good of a matchup. So that bodes well for the Batum-Gordon duo like you just talked about, Shannon.
Buddy Hield and George Hill are quality defenders.
There you go. Clip that soundbite for later. Shannon, any other players that you'd like to discuss before we get out of here?
I'm spending big on Anthony Davis. I think he's going to have a monster game. Jordan Bell is still under $5,000. He's kind of risky, but usually the defensive stats on FanDuel will carry him to a good 30-plus point fantasy night, even if he only plays 20 to 25 minutes. And, you know, we're just going to keep on harping the Pacers. I like Turner. I like Stevenson. I like Collison, all of those guys. You've got a mini revenge game for Rondo against the Dallas Mavs.
Sure.
Coming off a monster 25-assist outing. You know, there's plenty of downside with Rondo, but we've seen the upside as well. So under 6,000 for him, so he's another good option.
Any super cheap picks out there? I am curious about Bojan Bogdanovic at 4,900 against Chicago. I'm trying to figure out how to get Davis and Westbrook in my lineup tonight.
There's just not that one guy out there on this particular slate where I'm really drawn to that they're coming into a situation where it's like, oh my goodness, FanDuel obviously set the prices before this injury was announced. It's just not that type of situation out there for me. I think you need to do it with a lot of guys like Batum, like Gordon, if you want to get Westbrook and Davis into your lineup. I mean, you even have to go lower than that on some other guys. And I don't know, Shannon, I kind of looked over the course of things. If you want to dip into the Clippers, they've got their CJ Williams, your Jamil Wilson type of guys. Other than that, though, I'm just not enthused by that particular approach tonight.
Yeah, it depends on who's ruled out. If Kuzma's ruled out, Larry Nance could be very attractive at 4,400. If Blake Griffin's ruled out, Montrezl Harrell could be good. Jamil Wilson, if he's recalled from the G League, would be a good option. So it just depends. But both of those games they play against each other, Clippers and Lakers. So it's a late game, and we probably won't know on those players before lineups lock.
John Henson, $5,200 at power forward. He's gotten you 25, 26 fantasy points. At 5,200, you know, maybe he can have a couple more blocks tonight against OKC to have that value to push you in there where you could afford Anthony Davis. Lots of good choices to choose from here from our experts. Let me just go over K-Train's mispronounced names. He did a good job. We skipped we skipped last week because I think you were pretty close to crystal clear. You flirted with the wrong pronunciation of Bismack Biyombo, but I think we'll give it to you, Ken. The only glaring mistake on today's pod is that you threw out Hazonia perfectly for 3 or 4 times, and then you just threw in a Hazonka in the middle. That might be my favorite mispronounced name of the whole season, but otherwise you kept a pretty close to a clean sheet, Ken. Thanks so much for joining us here on this fantasy basketball podcast presented by FanDuel. K-Train, why don't you get us out of here?
Thank you, DJ, and thank you, Shannon. By the way, gentlemen, have a wonderful New Year's. Let's have our outro quote from Phil Jackson, former player, coach, legend, and Knicks killer, as I like to call him. But after, when he was with L.A., after being treated for a kidney stone, the then Lakers coach Phil Jackson said, "When the anesthesiologist leaned over me, he said, 'We named your kidney stone Kobe because it's not passing.'" Attention, passengers! This three-car fantasy train has hit the end of the line!